Scripture reading for the night comes from Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, through its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble in its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. When nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to see everyone back again this evening. It was a beautiful day today. The sun was shining. The snow's melting. But it has been a beautiful day. I know I've said this before, but I certainly appreciate the willingness of our song leaders to learn a song they're not familiar with and lead it. I think it's good for us to learn some new songs, some of those that we may have sung before, but I'm very thankful for the song leaders that we have here. It is a true blessing. All right, if you want to open up your Bibles to Psalm 46, we're going to spend our time this evening in that psalm. We'll start looking through it and talk about maybe what it means and then our application to us today. I enjoy reading the Psalms. I enjoy studying the Psalms. I think there's so much there. There's so much wealth there for us of wisdom for us to take away. You know, Psalm 46 is one of confidence in God. It's one that's helped certainly many troubled hearts. It tells the believer who's distressed in trouble and in troubled, that no matter what happens in this world, that we can trust in the protection and the peace of God. We sang A Mighty Fortress, the very first song that we sung. Martin Luther wrote that song after he read this psalm. Now, some believe this psalm was written after God's miraculous deliverance of Jerusalem by Sennacherib, the powerful Assyrian king we can read about in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19 and 2 Chronicles 32, as well as Isaiah 37. As King Hezekiah tried to throw off his dependence upon Assyria, Sennacherib sent his army to beat him into submission. That Assyrian king made his way across Judah towards Jerusalem. He destroyed 46 walled cities on his way. And it seems that he agreed to spare Jerusalem if Hezekiah would only submit to his rule and pay tribute to him again. But Hezekiah refused. He absolutely refused to do this. In a letter to Jerusalem, Sennacherib denied the ability of God to deliver Jerusalem from his power. We read about that in Isaiah chapter 9, or chapter 37, verses 9 through 13. And then in verses 14 through 20 of that same chapter, Hezekiah took this letter to the temple and he laid it before the Lord, appealing to God to show him what to do. In response, we read in Isaiah 37, verses 21 through 35, that Isaiah prophesied a promise that Sennacherib would be humbled and sent home. In the story, the Assyrians were camped outside of Jerusalem during the night, intending to take over that city in the morning. When the morning came, 185,000 of their soldiers lay dead. We can read that in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, and Isaiah 37, 36. During the night, a visitation of death brought by an angel of the Lord had just swept through their camp and destroyed them. Humiliated by what happened, the Assyrian forces, they left and went home, leaving Jerusalem untouched. It's a very dramatic and a very persuasive story about how God comes to the rescue of His own people. It brought shouts of thanksgiving and rejoicing, as we knew it would, and it certainly left a lasting impression on the people of Judah of what God had done for them. Now, regardless of whether or not this psalm was the actual basis for the story, it certainly provides us that wonderful illustration of the love and appreciation the people of Judah had for God following their deliverance. There are three very comforting promises about life that are included in this psalm, each ending in the word Selah, which just instructs the reader to pause and reflect on what was just said. The truths relate to living by faith in the face of very traumatic experiences. You know, life consists of peaks and valleys. We have our ups and we have our downs. You know, while we enjoy the peaks, all the ups in life, you know, sometimes the valleys, the downs, they can shatter us if we let them. This psalm tells us what the believer needs to know about the valleys of life. So let's begin looking at the psalm. In the first three verses, we see one of the first truth is there is turmoil all around us. There's turmoil all around us. The psalmist begins in verse 1. He says, God is our refuge and our strength. We see that God is both our stronghold and He's the strength of His people. He's our offense. He shows us how to live in this world by His counsel and His strength. He's also our defense. He's protecting us from the storms on the outside, as well as He quiets all the fears on the inside. In times of adversity, God will sustain us internally. He's our strength. He will be our strength spiritually. And He will protect us externally by being our refuge. It says He will be a very present help. That literally means He will be found swiftly or abundantly. God is always available and accessible, fully and immediately in times of danger. Therefore, God's people have nothing to fear, regardless of what may happen. God will always be more than sufficient for whatever trials we face. He will provide the strength and He will provide the wisdom that we need. In verses 2 and 3, it says, therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Four expressions are used to show these great calamities, maybe catastrophic changes, that cannot negate God's promises. This text shows four kind of eventual probabilities or eventualities, if you will, where God will protect His people. And they're all expressed beginning with the word, though. Though the earth should change, though the mountains should slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Figuratively, these natural disasters convey that God's people are safe in Him. That regardless of what storms assail us, and regardless of what upheavals might be happening in nature or life that confront us, God is always there, and we are always there safe with Him. Nothing, absolutely nothing, should shake our faith in God. We can rest our hearts without anxiety in the power of God to direct things. God will be gracious, and He's very powerful to help those who trust in Him. Therefore, we shouldn't fear, but we should have confidence that God's promise is certain. It is absolutely sure and certain. Implied in this section is the truth that individually and collectively as God's people, we will experience turmoil in this world. We can't escape it. We cannot escape that turmoil. Part of living on earth is just that constant battle of hardship. It's dealing with all those struggles that we face, and sometimes even death. We may feel like that earth is just crumbling beneath our feet. It's just breaking up and it's falling apart around us. We may face turmoil that's unseen by others, and it challenges the peace and the hope that we have inside of us. But no matter if the turbulences are visible, catastrophic, or they take place within our souls, God will sustain us. God will sustain us. This fact is the promised assurance that belongs to anyone who trusts in God. The psalmist concludes this section saying, Selah. We need to pause and reflect on that. Secondly, the second truth, amidst all that turmoil that we're facing, the second truth, God is our only real refuge. God's our only real refuge. We see that in verses 4 through 7. Beginning in verse 4, he says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. So God has assigned a river to flow through the city of God, where the holy dwelling places are. Jerusalem is that city of God, and the holy dwelling places belong to the Most High, the one and the only God. We shouldn't think of this river as a literal one flowing through the middle of the city of Jerusalem. Rather, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor that suggests the peace and the tranquility coming to us. It's just flowing out of the hand of God. This river flows out into various streams, right? Into various streams, spreading calm through the city. And the city is the people that God has chosen. As Christians, we are God's chosen people. We're told that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. God's great comfort branches out to all the different areas of turmoil His people face. So surrounded by an unpredictable world, God's people are set apart as God's possession, and we are under God's tender care. While Israel was set apart because God dwelt among them, as Christians we're set apart too. We're sanctified by God. God's people have no reason to fear, no reason to fear, but we have every reason to be glad. God is among us. God is among us. His presence provides the highest level of security and joy. In verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. As God's people, we can be assured that we will never fall as long as we trust in Him, that God will always be ready to help us. Although the city of God is threatened by all the nations around it, it's not dismayed by all the threats. The city, God's people, can calmly trust in God's protection, who is in the midst of her. So as Christians, regardless of what's going on around us, God's presence, it means protection for us. It means protection for us. And God will help her when morning dawns. God is ever ready to help us with the challenges and all the difficulties that we face. God will never allow His people to suffer for a long period of time, though they may have to suffer metaphorically through the night. In verse 6, it says, the nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. When it says the kingdoms had tottered, it's talking about the kingdoms rising and falling. They're conquered and being conquered. Or they're conquering and being conquered. So while all this commotion and upheaval characterizes the nations of the world, and those nations may roar against God's people, in the midst of all of those national disturbances, God spoke and the earth melted. At God's word, the unpleasant and unwelcome things we experience in life, as harsh as they may have been, they pass away. They pass away. The raging world becomes calm for the people of God. He concludes this section in verse 7, and he says, the Lord of hosts, Sabaoth, is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. This verse shows God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. He is the Almighty One. To have Him on our side and to have Him on one side is to have a stronghold which cannot be broken into and cannot be overthrown by any force or any enemy. The psalmist finishes saying, Selah, or to pause and reflect on this. And then finally, in verses 8 through 11, we see God is our refuge. The final truth. God is our refuge. In verse 8, the psalmist writes, come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. All mankind are urged to look at what God has done, to consider His works, to learn valuable lessons by viewing His wonders. Those works are for us to know who God is. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. In verse 9, it says, He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. God has defeated the enemy of His people by breaking the bow and spear and burning their chariots. He's overthrown nations and He's brought them to desolation. So while the nations around God's people were mighty, God has routed them decisively. For us as Christians, through Christ, God has defeated our enemy, Satan. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And then we come to verse 10. Probably a very familiar statement or passage for most of us. And at least a portion of it we've probably quoted ourselves. Cease striving and know that I am God. Other translations may say, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Because of God's promises and His ability to keep them, God's people are told to relax. To relax. We can be calm and we can be unafraid as we look to how God has taken care of His people and His present care for us today. Cease striving or be still just implies putting something in place of something else. It means substituting the knowledge and the love of God for all of our questions and our fears. We should quit worrying or being anxious. Our faith should replace our worry and our fear. We should not be afraid, even if the world seems to be crumbling around us. And we know at times it certainly feels like it is. We should not lose courage. We can't stop living for the Lord. And Paul states it very well in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who is against us? God will not be overthrown by any person, any nation. He won't be overthrown by anything physical or any spiritual force. He will be exalted among the nations. Anyone who so chooses can see that God is the true and the living God. In the case of Sennacherib, the whole earth can observe that God and only God could have brought about what happened outside of the walls of Jerusalem. So complete and decisive was that victory in the defense of Jerusalem that nobody with an honest heart could fail to recognize that it was God's hand that was behind it. Anyone can see that there is no other God. He concludes this section with the same statement that the psalmist made in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. The greatest news of all is that the Lord of hosts, the Almighty One, He is with us. The God of Israel, the true and the living God, is with us in times of trouble. No enemy is too strong for Him to overcome. No disaster is too great, maybe even too cataclysmic for Him to stop. No danger is too great for Him to prevent. The God of Jacob has shown Himself to be stronger than the whole earth. The nations of the earth must learn that their strength cannot compare to His. God's people need never fear when danger comes, because God is our refuge. From the works and the actions of God on behalf of His people, we can see a couple things. We can see who God is, His power, His wisdom, and His love for His people. He encircles us as Christians. We're hidden in His strength, and we're hidden in His love. We can also should have confidence that God will do whatever needs to be done to deliver us. He protects us. He is our impenetrable shield, keeping us safe for His service. So we can relax, free from worry, and live life unafraid. Again, the psalmist concludes this section, Selah. We need to pause and reflect on this. You know, this psalm is a commemoration, maybe even a celebration, of the believer's strength and security in God. And we see that in the three truths that we talked about tonight. First, in the world, we will have turmoil. We will experience turmoil. When hardship comes to us in this world, we need to remember that God is near and He's ever ready to assist us. Secondly, God is our only real refuge. No other refuge is accessible enough, strong or mighty enough to provide the stronghold that God's people, that we as Christians must have. And third, we must choose God to be our refuge. His help is readily available, but He will not force Himself upon us. God alone is our protection from the hardships and the difficulties of life. We can't find real power and peace in any of our solutions, or any of mankind's solutions for that matter. We must rest in God, the mighty fortress. We tend to see and focus on things that are around us. We're very physically oriented people. But beyond what we can see is the will, is the power of God. We need to remember that God is in charge. He is in control. We have nothing to fear in His presence. His word is mighty. It's conclusive. It's determinative. The God who delivered Judah from Assyrian captivity is the same God we serve today. He has the same power and love for us. We need to remember that. When the storms of life come, and they will, and when darkness descends, and it will, He is our protection. God is our protection. When those inner fears strike us and start to seize the peace within us, God's presence, it will calm us. God is for us. We need to remember that. God is for us. He seeks our best interest. God is with us. He stands beside us in the battles of life. And God is in us. He provides us peace, and He provides us His mercy. And because we have God, we will not be afraid. Regardless of what may happen to us or what's going on around us, no power on earth can give us the refuge that we have in God. No other power. True hope and our only hope is in God. He's our salvation. He shows us how to live. He gives us strength. He protects us. He provides us peace and serenity. You know, with God, we have everything. And without Him, we have absolutely nothing. It's a wonderful psalm. And this evening, although we have not talked about those that might have been studying the Word, come to the realization they have sin in their life and they need to turn away from that and they've repented. They're willing to confess and they're ready to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, to take Him on as their ruler, to be immersed in the waters of baptism, to be raised and walk a newness of life. And yet there may be others among us that are just struggling. Struggling with all the events in life. It just seems like we're pressed on every side and in every way at times. We're looking for God's protection. Now, I just say that if you are struggling in any way spiritually, that we can help you, that we can surround you with our love, and we can pray for you and support you in any way that we can. I just ask that you come now as we stand and sing.